plugged then, if it's on.
I think so. It has a light on.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess Rav Moshe Zacharin of Racha was my personal Rebbe for over 30 years. My coming here, he was very instrumental in encouraging me and pushing me to come here. And anyone who has ever felt any to'elas from my Divrei Torah, it was Shalohi. Whether the specific vart was his, or the Ruach HaDvarim, the approach, they were his, everything. I'll start just to describe, the audience here is very diverse, and some people know a lot, some people know very little. Just briefly sketch out the details, and then I'll try to pick one particular point that I feel is a facet that maybe includes a lot of his person. He was born in 1935 in Etzron, Petach Tikva. He was extremely bright as a young boy, brilliant. Learned in Panovich and Hevron. In Panovich, he became very close at a young age to Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler was somewhat, he was related to the Alter Kelm. Rav Dessler's last 2 years of his life, his Rebbe had passed away. They needed a bocher to stay at the house to help. He stayed with him for 2 years. And he was the catalyst for Rav Moshe and in many, many areas that he excelled. He then learned in Hebron, and he would go into the Brisker Rav to speak and learning frequently. He then learned also, he got married, learned the Mir for a while. And at some point, fairly early, he taught in a yeshiva. He then was in America for 2 years. When he came back, this was about 1978, he started saying shiurim in many places. He never had a definitive makom of his. He had a kol that was his, and he had a small yeshiva, but his real harbatzis Torah lay all over. He would say something like 30 to 40 different shiurim a week in different places. Different people would come to him. And probably he had more real talmidim, in the sense people that feel close, people that feel that he had molded them in a certain way, than anyone else. Extraordinary amount of people that felt, like myself, that whatever they have in certain areas of Torah is his. It was incredible. He could 30, 40 on different inyanim, diverse, different levels. He also was extremely involved in Kirv Chokim. They brought him, he would say a lot of shiurim. It's not that he was a Kirv specialist, but his shiurim inspired people. They were astounded by the depth of this Torah. A very famous French philosopher, Benny Levy, who was one of Jean-Paul Sartre's closest confidants and the person that was his personal secretary for this last decade of his life, became a Ben Torah through him, Shom Torah Mitzvahs and Ben Torah, and sat and learned. He was accused of being Mises and Medea, his Rebbe, Sada, that he started writing positively about Jews and Judaism, and Rav Moshe was the figure that inspired him. And he said about Rav Moshe that where philosophy ends, Rav Moshe Shapiro begins. That was his haracha for Rav Moshe. His diversity of shurim, he could say shurim in the deepest areas of Kabbalah, and he said shurim in Taharis for dozens of years, and anything in between, whatever. Anybody, whatever was needed, wanted, extraordinary. His own personal life was extremely ascetic, but always tremendous stolz. The whole person, everything about him was kulei nichbados and beauty and extraordinarily charismatic personality. extraordinary, is multifaceted in so many different ways. He was involved in many, many different areas in Russia, the yeshiva, the Torah's Chaim, which is the strong yeshiva in Moscow. It's near Moscow, it's not in Moscow. That was his direct. He would spend every Pesach there with them. He was involved with Israeli Baal Teshuvas. He would, in many, many different organizations and people, saw him as their Morah Derech. 24/7, he was always involved doing with something, being asked questions, involved, giving aces and so on. That was, I guess, the sort of the outside description of the person. What was unique in the learning was he, unlike what was not common in yeshivas, he studied Kabbalah, Machshava, whatever, in its breadth. But he had the ability to give it over and to say it in a way that felt a natural extension of the yeshiva learning. It wasn't jarring. It didn't sound like somebody who's never learned, but he's philosophizing. He's somewhere up in the clouds. The same intellectual honesty and the same precision and everything that goes into a lambda in Gemara, he extended it into other areas. He had an extraordinary ability to explain things in a way that just opened up worlds for you, and in many, many different levels. That was probably what was unique about him. That was the chelik of Torah that he felt Rav Dessler was the catalyst. He then went on to learn from many people, and gave it over in ways that reached many different levels of people, in ways that were appropriate for their understandings and so on. That was the hekif of the person, in broad strokes. I felt perhaps it would be, I just to talk about everything and stories. Not, I don't think that's l'ruchoy. And I don't think it's possible. I'd like to speak about one specific point that I feel is an angle that really, really sort of includes many other things. We say Krishma every day. And Chazal Womesakin, two brachas to precede Krishma. These brachas are not really, I mean, they somewhat have a status of Birchas HaMitzvah, but they're very, very, they really don't fit the mold of a non-Birchas HaMitzvah. They're more of an introduction to Krishma. And then there is a bracha afterwards. These brachas are in sort of giving us a setting through which to say Krishma and to and to understand Kabbalah Zol Malach Shemayim, to understand the Munir Hashem Echot. The first, in a big sense, the first bracha is Pilei HaBriya, sort of Marabu Masecha. That's the big, in the big picture, the first bracha. The second bracha is Torah and Klal Yisrael specifically. But what the first bracha starts with Yotze Or Uvari Choshech. If you want to describe the Bria, Merabu Masech Hashem, start with the cosmos. I mean, you know, Aretz Umloya, Tevel V'Yoshviva, the entire universe. Yes, light is an element within the universe, but it's only one element. The universe and its entire majesty includes, that's the entire Bria of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why do we start with Yotzer? We finish the chsim of the bracha is Or Chodesh Atzin Toir. That's the Ashkenazi siyum, and it's a machlokas aposkim. The Ashkenazim finish with Or Chodesh, which is a sort of somewhat of a bakasha on Osilovo. The Sephardi poskim, the Torah brings, they questioned this practice, and they said that One has nothing to do with the other. The klal in brachas is that you like the beginning of the bracha. If it's a long bracha, you want the beginning and the end to be somewhat common, to talk about the same topic. And the first one is talking about Yosef Erechayshech, the Bria of Or that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made in the beginning of the world, the natural light that we have. Or Chodesh Al Tzion Toir is Mashiach, and somewhere there'll be greater light, but one has not to the other. One is, if you're talking about Bria Sa'olam, the first one is starts Yotze Or. Or Chodesh Al Tzion Toir is something else. The Torah brings from his father, Chuvas HaRosh, that no, the Orlo Sidlovo is coming from the Arbracious. It's part of the Or Agonus, and this is what it is. Okay. It's also interesting that that's what we would stick in and create such a... I mean, yes, we can answer, we can give a teretz, but why would we stick that in? I mean, we're talking about Bria's Olam and the Flos HaBorei. Or Chodesh Al Tzion Toir is some sort of promise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we believe in. But where is it the... why is that part of it? So let's think a little bit about the etzem idea of Oyer and the Bria Sa'olam. If you take a look in the Parsha in Bereishis, we've mentioned it many times this Ha'ara, the order of creation follows some sort of natural pattern. You have water, you have Shemayim Oretz, you have water and yamim, you have plant life, animal life, human life, a fairly linear progression of complexity. It sort of makes sense. Oyer is something that, it's an element within the world. If a person, nobody starts building an apartment with the lights. You build the apartment, and yes, it's uncomfortable if it's dark, and you put in lights, and that's great. But to start with light and then go on to Rakia and then you cover Amayim and so on. Why is the first Bria Or? And it's very, very clear that when Chazal made the Takana, when they crafted the Bracha dealing with Bria Sa'olam, that's what they were coming off. If Bereishis Bara, if Vayehi Or is the first, is the foundation of Bria, then obviously, if that's what the Pasuk places as the foundation of Bria, then obviously Chazal would do it. But it only reinforces the question as to why. Why is it like that? So let's understand a little bit about the Musig. What does Or mean in the sense that the Torah uses it, in the sense that we're talking about? The Pasuk says by the Teichacha that you will become the Pasuk speaks about how terrible all of the things that befall Klal Yisrael will be, and so on. And it says Vayisa Mimashesh Batzarayim Ki'iva Bafela. You will tap the walls in midday, like a blind man does in pitch dark. So the Gemara asks already about what the difference of blind man not. But let's go to the first half of the pasuk, and let's understand the mamashish in bafelo, the ki bafelo. When a person physically can only touch objects, when a person's only sense of things is physical contact, which is what a blind man has. So every single object that he touches, he's aware of that object. And each object, one at a time, the person makes contact with, and as much as he's physically in contact with, that is what he has. Just like, let's take, or let's say a young baby, where the baby's crawling around and it bumps into something, it recognizes that it bumped into something. That's it. In other words, the ability to construct a big picture, to be able to see things coming in a context, to see a pattern that is more than the parts, is not a function of mishus, of tapping. Mishus, the ability of touch, is something that is one-to-one contact, and it's limited to the physical object. All I discern is physical objects when I come in contact with them. The ability to take in and say, this is not a piece of wood if I bump into it. This is a room set up. This is a house. This is a neighborhood. That is re'iyah in the big picture of what re'iyah is. Re'iyah doesn't work. Re'iyah is not the physical contact with an object. It's the ability to interpret pieces into a whole that is lodged in the pieces. It could be a person detects a pattern. So the person is able to see something that rises from the pieces, a picture that comes off the individual pieces. When we look at, if a person would have a picture and he couldn't see it as all the individual pixels that he could feel, each pixel is nothing. It's a dot, yes and no. When the person sees all the dots together, the person sees a picture. So re'iyah is the ability for a person to understand the sichlius, to understand meaning, to understand a picture rather than a physical contact with a point. That's what re'iyah is. Or is the medium that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to have re'iyah, and we are, one limits the other. The color of the light, the strength of the light, the direction of the light, limit the picture that I could possibly get from everything. And the ability for the brain to interpret is also a limit of what it is I see. I could see something in bright light, but if it's a machine that I'm totally unfamiliar with, I can ask just a shela stam, mazeh. But I can't, I'm not grasping anything. So grasping something mentally, understanding something, that's what seeing and light is in the big picture. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create a world of objects. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world which would project an understanding, a picture. It's a reflection of a big picture of where Tzelem Elokim, the world is a reflection of a world above and beyond. And the difference is that in this world, that picture is made through pixels. It's made through billions of objects. And we need the power of, we need the tool of light and the faculty of sight to be able to grasp and understand what we see. That's the Bria of Or. So the first thing, the purpose of the world is not for any pieces in the world. The purpose of the world is a projection and therefore meaning and understanding, and the tools for gaining that understanding is the first thing that's put into the world, and then everything else it follows from that. That is the Bria of Oyer. Vayhi Oyer is the Shayrish of the Bria. That's in Yom Echad. And everything else now follows. There's no point in producing pictures if there's no brain to interpret and understand the pictures. When we talk about Emuna, which is Krishna, when we talk about Emuna and the understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is the most important faculty that we need for it? A scientist can sit and spend his entire life researching, looking into things, and he discovers more and more extraordinary ploim, extraordinarily wondrous, complex entities. And it can leave him totally uninspired. I mean, he's very happy, he's thrilled with it. And the reason is because he's a mamashesh. He's just tapping each piece. It's like, imagine you send in somebody into this room, and this person is a very, very bright technician, and ask him, come back in a half hour, what's in this room? And the person will come back, having worked very hard for a half hour with instruments, and say, okay, this room has this amount of oxygen, and this amount of protoplasm, and this amount of this, and this amount of this, and this, and this, and this, and this. Reams of facts. Yes, it's factually correct, but the person missed the boat. The person can't say it's a group of people come together for something. He doesn't have that ability. He's a mamashesh. He taps each piece and doesn't have the re'iyah to be able to see things in the picture of it. The pasuk says, "Sumar menechem." Lift up your eyes heavenwards, Ru'umi bara ela, and see who is it that created all of these. And so on. What does it mean? Lift up your eyes. Are there a lack of pilei habria on the ground? I mean, an ant itself contains enough ploim to mechazik emuna, and the entire world. How it interacts, the ecosystem, everything. Is there a lack of stuff to base emuna on? The answer is, the first thing is, take your head out of the ground. Uru'u. Sumar menechem. Pick up your head and look. Switch the faculty of mishus for the faculty of re'iyah. The heavens is the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu put me'oiris. Light comes from the heavens. It could have emanated from the ground. Lighting on the ground is sometimes more convenient. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, re'iyah, the oir and re'iyah, that all comes from lamala, because that's what it is. It's the big picture is Shemayim. The big picture is a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if I want to look at what a person is, if I look down, I have a microscope. But if I pick up my eyes and I look at what's above the person, that's where I have Re'iyah. That's where I see Tzelem Elokim, a reflection of Tzelem Elokim. So the emuna, if we ask ourselves, two people are looking at the same phenomena, and why is this person a maimin and this person not a maimin? And the answer is that this person is looking down. He's looking at the pieces. He's a mamashesh. He's tapping each piece. And tap. Every piece, he gets correct. This is sharp, and this is tall, and this is hard, and this is soft. But what's it all together? If a person is an iver, if the only faculty of his that he's developed is mishush, he'll see a billion pratim. The only thing that'll happen is his book will get filled with a billion details. Nothing emerges, no picture emerges from it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the Bria a koach of re'iyah of or, where a person can look and say, wow, this is what it is. It can be on a general level, like, look at it. It yells creator. Every single detail has a cause and an effect, but the whole picture together just overwhelms. It can also be a lot more specific, like Avraham Avinu, where it says from the Bria, he was able to understand what's right and what's wrong. The light that's in the Bria is not only sort of a very general light, but there's a light in the Bria also that can tell you each and every piece where it fits into the puzzle. But that light was hidden. And that light is called the Or HaGanus. Kadosh Baruch Hu took part of the light that is the Bria, that's meant to suffuse the Bria, and he put it away. It's Ganus, and the Sfarim say Ganus means not hidden. It's hidden within. Within the light that we do have, we need to unpack something inside that could tell us more. So when Chazal gave us a hakdama for Emunah, for Hashem Echad is exactly what we're talking about. The Ovid of Avodah Zarah and the scientist who is a Mamashesh, both of them see each detail as a detail. And yes, the Baal Avodah Zarah was a little more primitive, and he just sat and worshipped the sun and the moon and the stars and the sheep and the cows and whatever. And the scientist doesn't worship them, he just examines them. But Tachlis, Atzad HaShava, is that they don't see Hashem Echad. An Iver who's Mimashesh sees many, many, feels many, many Pratim. But there's no way in which the peace that I felt now and the peace that I feel later are one. There is no one circle that puts them together. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Oyer, so the Hakdama to being Miyachid Shemoi, to saying Hashem Echad, the Hakdama to that is the Koyach HaRe'iyah. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a Koyach into the Bria that is able to grasp meaning in the Bria by making the Bria one unified whole. And that becomes the vehicle. That becomes the lens through which to be oimed on Achdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why Yoytze Oyer is the first Hakdama. It is based on the Pasuk, on the first Vihi Or, because that's what it is. And it finishes Or Chodesh Al Tzion Toir. It's the same Oyer. It's the same point. It's not a new thing. This is talking about the Oyer of Bria, and this is talking about Melech HaMashiach, and they're both wonderful, but they're just sort of different things. We're talking about the same ability to grasp everything as one, and Chazal say, Otu ha'idna lav echad, you know, it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be, Bayamu Yashem Echad Shmei Echad, Otu ha'idna lav echad, is he now not one? And the Gemara says, yes, now we don't have the ability to combine Kishem Shavar HaTov Baruch Lera. We don't have the ability to put the two together. And therefore, for us, we can't see an entire picture together. We can never be Oymer Hashem Echad the way it should be. So we start by affirming the lens of Yoytze Oyer V'Choshech, and Or Chodesh is a natural bakasha that the lens is still not, the resolution is not good, it's not in full focus. Halvai, we should have that full focus, be able to approach it. That's the first bracha. The second bracha of Ava Rabba deals with Torah. When Chazal want to explain the Mila, the advantage of Torah over mitzvahs. In other words, they work in tandem. Each one complements each other. Chazal use a mashal of Or, Ner mitzvah and Torah Or. A mitzvah is a candle, and Torah is light in its essence. What it means is every single mitzvah carries in itself a point of education. This is an ani comes, you give him a pruta, this is a certain point of light. A person gets up in the morning, he ties onto his arm and onto his head the parshias of Krishna and Geulas Mitzrayim. Those are, each one is an individual point. To be able to see the whole picture is through Torah. Torah is to mitzvahs what oyer is to mishush. And that's why each mitzvah is a ner, and Torah is or in its most general format, in its most all-encompassing and sweeping format. That is the Seder of the Brachas of Birkas Krishna. The Sfasama says that, he says it on the Pasim Kisavai, that in Torah also, he said, even though we have Torah in Golas, but the Oyer of Torah we don't have with us. And the Vayisa Mimashish Batsarayim, Kiva Bafela, is specifically referring to that loss of Oyra Torah. So, if we're to ask ourselves, there are many, many halachas that are lost over the Golos. The Chazal say, but Misos Shel Moshe, we lost X amount of halachas, and so on. Those are all specifics that we lost. But in the big picture, just like in Yoytze Oyer V'Choshech, we're missing the Klolius Or, the Or Hagonus. When it comes to Torah also, we're missing that chelik. A person can learn tili tilim shel halachas. The Gemara has a very sharp description of people who are of people who know a lot of information, but don't have that bigger picture. It's called chamornos isfarim. A person can know 100 halachas, but we ask him, what's the klal gadol? So tell me a sentence that describes all these halachas. I don't know. I can tell you 100 halachas. The derech that our mesiris and yeshivas that we were mekabel, Reb Chaim's derech halimud, was to be able to look at the big ha'ara and to be able to see a picture that encompassed the entire halacha. And no matter what detail would be, that detail would follow automatically from it. He gave us an insight or sight where we could see the trunk of the tree and the branches would automatically follow, they'd be part of that trunk. That was in the world, that was in the oimek of halacha. Kabbalah is not a solution to the world's problems. Kabbalah doesn't help us understand things, if it's also packed on with words and words and words and words and terms and terms and terms, and if anything, the more terms you pile on and the more words you use, the less you understand. Reb Moshe's incredible Ha'aretz Einayim. I remember I used to go to, for a long time I used to go to a shir, it was a shir on Tuesdays, and I remember many times walking out into the sunlight and saying, wow, it's my eyes were opened. It's words and terms and chazal that I'd seen many times before. And all of a sudden, there was like an Or Chodesh. It was something that was just eye-opening. And so much more became understood. You understood something that opened up so much more. He had an uncanny way of explaining things where it just, every time you heard something, you felt you were given a key to an entire room, not just a particular object. And it was so many things, the Maral's Torah, that for such a long time, it was kind of, you know, he uses these philosophic words, these archaic words, these ideas that are difficult. And when Reb Moshe would say it, all of a sudden things just snapped into place. The Goyen, who's so obscure and it's you know, okay, the Goyen says this, the Goyen says this. So the Goyen says this is connect this, this is connect this, this is connect that. Okay, I mean, if you leave it at that, then what do you have? This is connect this, this is connect that. It's not an explanation to anything. It's not even doesn't. And Reb Moshe would say it, and it was, the lights were blazing. It was incredible. It was like, wow. It's like somebody had knew which button to press and everything would snap into place and everything would come alive. It was incredible. We spoke to him. One of my children works in a certain area, and he asked Reb Moshe about, you know, if you want to know certain policies, like, yeah, yeshiva things. It was a topic Reb Moshe had never really dealt with directly. He thought a moment and he said, let me give you three kolalim. And my son told me, till this very day, those three kolalim are the most important kolalim that he has in that area. It was everything like that. The reason why he pushed people to go out and to, like myself, many of my chaverim, those people are close with him, he always pushed, he saw a bigger picture of Klal Yisrael. Despite the fact that one would have expected him to become very ivory-towered, his perspective was extraordinarily broad. And he could see where somebody needs to be on a very, very specific darga and act in a very specific way, and where you need to reach out and embrace a person who's barely there. His approach to life, the Klal Yisrael, was breathtaking in the way in its ability to encompass. It wasn't an open tent. An open tent is nothing. An open tent is a kiddush, and that's all it is. There's no. It was the city of tents. It was which tent belonged to which person, because what does the city look like? The city includes many tents, and each person has a tent he has to be in, and all the tents together form a city, and that was his godness. I think we were standing at the Levaya. I don't think sadness was the emotion. I think depression, it was the light went out. It was his personality was always the room lit up when he was there. The chazal that he took shown an idea that he developed opened up a world. I remember standing at the Levaya with Talmidim and people close with him and everything, and just as a feeling. You know, the light went out. It's gone. There's no that oyer that was there. Whatever Kadosh Baruch Hu had given us a taste of that oyer Torah, that oyer Torah set. Oba Shemesh. That was the sense that I was feeling it. The last time he spoke publicly was about a half a year ago. He was already sick. It wasn't the last bout of his illness, but he'd been through a lot. He spoke at some sort of affair where they were honoring an extremely wealthy man who had a wonderful bat tzedakah. This person had lost a daughter. She was a teenage girl who had come back from doing chesed in Children's Hospital, and she was in a car accident and was killed. And they were dedicating something in her. And Reb Moshe spoke. Reb Moshe himself had lost a daughter. She was about 15 years old or so. She had been sick for a while, well, quite a bit. And it was very devastating. And I guess when Reb Moshe spoke, he spoke, it was hard not to see his own self speaking. And he said that it's hard to understand what is nichum avelim, what's tanchumim. He said you can be mesir das, but when you say something, you say it's okay, you know, you lost such and such close one, but okay, you got something else instead. You got a car instead, so it's okay. It sort of evens out, you know. Lose one, get win one. What's a tanchumen? How is shayach tanchumen in the bria? Where do we have tanchumen? And he brought a Rashi in Cheskel that if there's no tanchumen, there's no avelus. In other words, avelus is there for the purpose of nichum. The need to express avelus is to allow for nichum to set in. So what is nichum? How do we have nechama avi? And Moshe said, the word nichum is used, it means to regret. Vayinochem, you know, l'ara and so on. Kinechamti. What does it mean when a person regrets something? It doesn't mean that the facts changed. That's in halachic parlance, nolad. It means that you had a new way of looking and understanding the same facts. The way that Nichum works is that right now we only have a limited way of seeing things. And from that perspective, it's bad, all bad. It's interesting. Reb Moshe himself, when he lost his daughter, I went two or three times to Menachem Avil, more just to see a big person in that matzav. His avelus was profound, both in the sense of a sense of loss and the profoundness with which he approached it. It wasn't intellectually being divorced from what was happening, and it wasn't a normal breakdown of his emotions. It was a big person in a big moment acting in a big way. Everything he said, everything he did was incredible. He decided that's when he started to start his Tyrus Shir, and he would say his Shir on Tyrus once a week. It lasted for tens of years. Incredible. And I never went to that shiur, but I heard from people went. It was incredible shiur. But he said, nichumim comes when a person looks at things differently. And that ri'ya is, that's the part of that or chadash, al tzion toyer. Just like Hashem Elokein Hashem Echad is not complete, because we see Ra as individual and Toiv as individual. So we're missing the Re'iyah that's able to encompass both together as part of one picture. and therefore we make Diana Emes on a difficult moment and Tatova Meitiv on a good moment. But that's because we're missing that Aragonus. Nichumim is rooted in that future. I guess, I don't know, to take away from his life something. I mean, the very understanding that what we try to do in Yiddishkeit, in Torah, each person, depending where he's at and what he's at, is to understand that the transition from katnus, from being a mamashesh, from just kind of dealing with bits and pieces, to seeing a bigger picture, to be able to see an entirety of a picture. If a person, and this is something that is shayach to Tzuras Adam, if a person deals with details only, he sees Torah and mitzvahs bits and pieces, but there's no big picture. So if the me who's doing so many, I'm doing tayag mitzvahs, and with so many obligations and so many restrictions, what do I have at the end? Do I have a Shem Echad? Or do I have Malay Mitzvahs Kerimon? It says that Rishayim are Malay Mitzvahs Kerimon, because Rishayim see each mitzvah as a little piece. That's it. They're full of little dots. But there's no big tapestry that is Adam, Salam Alekim, Mamlechas Kanim, Goy Kaddish. All of those terms are just meaningless. So yes, I do a lot of mitzvahs, I stay away from a lot of various zehu. I don't know how a person is kaina. I mean, sitting by him and listening and seeing the whole person and listening to him open up something, he was our eyes. That was where light came from. Every time he spoke, he cast a light on an event, on a difficult issue, on a sugya, in learning, or in agada was more frequently so. I don't know. I don't have anything to offer and to suggest, but at least understanding that. The Bala Musa say that sometimes there's a lightning flash that lasts a split second. You can't use it for a guiding light anymore, step by step. But at least it gave you a sense of an entire picture. That's an accomplishment. That light is gone. Kavan Ner Maravi. It's gone. But at least we, and anyone who ever heard from him, and anyone who ever heard from his Torah and his genre and so on, has a sense that Torah is a big oyer. That the Yesoida de Bria is Vayhi oyer. The first thing is the big picture. The details were filled in to create that picture. That's the Shirish. The world of Emunah is gotten through the double lens of the Oyer of the Bria and the Oyer of Torah. And both of them, it's the facet of Oyer. It's the facet of Re'iyah. It's sitting back and looking. What do I see? That's the lens through which Hashem becomes Echad. That Ha'ara is incomplete until the day will come and we'll have Nechumim, when each individual piece will become part of a big piece, and B'seich Shah Ve'etzim Shalayim will have the Nichum on all the Tzar de Brias and the Ha'ara that will be married, the Aruch Chodesh Al Tzim To'ir. Nizke Cholonim Heir La'irim.